You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Stopping at the byway, looking for the old men of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men have to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men's stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
And Jeff Young.
Old Men's Stories. Welcome to our show. During our 119th show, Crime Stopping is on the foot, and we want the facts. Just the facts. If you have lived just a few years, you have seen advanced crime stopping in action. From pepper spray to video surveillance, there continue to be improvements that help us live safer life. Of course, in living with these improvements, life stories come out from the dark places in our minds. Tell your Crime Stopper old man story.
Good afternoon, everyone, from San Jose, California, and Plano, Texas. It's Old Man Stories, and today we are putting the stop on crime. We're taking a bite of a crime, as the McGruff the Crime Dog used to say, but I imagine that McGruff is a little bit long in the tooth. It's Roland, right. Are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm in Plano, Texas.
So what are you doing? What are you doing in Plano, Texas?
Well, I'm in Plano. I had a shirt business stop, but the reason I'm here is on Monday I'm taking a tour through id Software's main office here, and my nephew Tim Willits is the president, and he's going to give me this cool journey. So I'm looking forward to it. I went and saw him yesterday at his place. And north of Heath, I think it's Heath, Texas. So that's my adventure. Then we're off to Sherman to visit a cousin and then to Texarkana. So we're doing that. We did a lot of Texas stops.
Well, Texas is big enough to require a lot of stops. You're going through a journey through someone else's id. I'm pretty jealous because gaming is something that I wanted to do with my life at one point in time, at least game programming and stuff. So definitely have fun with that.
Well, I will have fun watching them. And but gaming has not interested me at all. But Tim, and which, you know, I take credit for this, of course. Tim called me one time and said, "Unc, what should I take in school?" I said, "You should take a split major. You should take data processing and accounting." So he did. And in his data processing stuff, he got fascinated at solving problems in video games, and this new system came out, and he solved it, and he sent this fella the answer on how to handle it, and the guy was so enthusiastic, he called him and said, "Come and work for me." And this fella
nice.
Was the owner of id Software. That was 20 years ago now.
It makes me feel old, because I kind of grew up around that software that they make.
Yeah.
Anyway, Let's get back to today's theme for today, which is improved crime-stopping methodology. I grew up with the Sherlock Holmes novels and Encyclopedia Brown and other mystery novel kind of thing, and I was fascinated with people being able to solve crimes. And I remember reading about the whole notion that you could predict if someone was a criminal or not by using, I think it was phrenology, where you measure someone's head, and if they have the right bumps on their head, then they have a propensity for being a criminal. And I remember thinking, that's crazy. But now you have these things out there where you can analyze for someone's DNA, stuff that they didn't have back years and years ago, and now you can just analyze and say, oh yes, you were definitely here because the evidence that you left behind that you couldn't pick up or wipe away shows that you were here. So you are guilty.
That's right. And your DNA says you have criminal tendencies. I don't know if they did that. I'm just joking.
I worry about that if they decide that, because I think everyone has the ability to be guilty of something.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I look at it, when I was an auditor, when I was an accountant, I could see ways to steal money, like hundreds of ways. And it was my ethical position that wouldn't allow me to do it. But it wasn't that I couldn't have. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So being honest is a choice. You know, even though, and the inclination to seeing how you could steal something is a mind game. And the two are totally different. That's why sometimes when you're playing video games, you play the bad guy, right?
Well, yes. Because there are a few games that actually let you take the part of the villain in a way, and it sort of turned the whole idea of good and evil on its head. And being a writer myself, it's very often the case that characters are not necessarily purely good or purely evil. It's just a matter of circumstances and actions taken at certain points in their lives, and It's definitely something that you realize is a sliding scale of behavior. What is acceptable? What is unacceptable? And then you realize that the dividing line is where someone else has legislated that this is a law that says that you can or cannot do this, or else you will face penalties from the local or federal government. Because really, in the whole possession is 9/10 of the law thing, so a lot of people are out there to acquire stuff. And then once you have the stuff, it's a matter of can you legally keep it? And a lot of it is just simply what society feels is allowable or disallowable, because it's not so simple as this is right and this is wrong. If you kill somebody, it's usually bad. But if you kill somebody in self-defense, not so much. So anyway, let's go with the one of the things you said in the introduction. Do you feel that having surveillance cameras in more places is a good thing or a bad thing in terms of stopping crime? And you have the England style set up where there are CCTV cameras pretty much everywhere, and there's most of America where you don't have monitoring like that, and it's the we don't want the government or Big Brother calling, hurting back to 1984, watching over us like that. Where do you stand?
I have no problem with video. As long as they don't arrest you for being in the alley. Now, I know that sounds silly, but sometimes, you know, when you really have to do something, you really have to do it. And that would be absolutely terrible if they held that as a crime. But I would finish it as a joke in a way, but it's also like there are certain things where there's a ridiculousness in videoing and crime. And what you should use them for, and what you should be limited to use them for.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. And this is a true story of Roland Willett and his crime prevention at the office.
All right.
Well, I've owned the office building for 15, almost 20 years now. And the first couple of years, we had the office. 9 months into it, we had a break-in, and they broke the window in the door and crawled through it, opened the doors, and let everyone in. And then they proceeded to rob the place. So we put in a whole security system with cameras and everything. We had all these cameras set up there. And then I put a steel cage-sized thing that you close and you put a lock on on all the doors. Oh, man, this should work just fine. Well, they came, and they just had a big cutter, and they cut the locks, opened it up, broke the window again, and I found out that you have to have cameras that are much more defined than the ones I had, because with a little bad lighting, they couldn't see any. So there we were. We were stuck. So that was useless. So we said, and I was robbed. You know, in our local gendarmes did nothing. And then I mentioned, I said, you know, you've put in all of these stoplights, and in each stoplight lately, you've put in cameras, you know, for general traffic. I said, at 3 a.m, there aren't that many trucks driving around, and you can see the truck tire marks out in the back. Why don't you look for your cameras and see if you can find them? Now, I don't know if they've ever done that, but I know they didn't do it for the next time, because the next time what I did was put all of the inside the doors, inside the glass doors, and I also got an ADT-type system that I put in through the whole place, and I had my securities and got better cameras. Well, so, man, I was all ready. And I said, how are they going to do it? By the time they get in and get through it, you know, the police will be there. Well, at that time, the police said, we have too many calls and we're not going to respond. But they didn't tell us that. But it still had the protection. ADT would call and someone would get there. And it was, took their truck, which was probably went through 5 cameras in the city. And it was the only truck out at 2 a.m. and backed the truck through the windows. And then pushed the gate in, and then they came inside, cut the gate, and they went and robbed the place. Well, we'd known that, you know, I mean, we were sort of extra secure then. They stole all of $130 and caused $4,000 in damage. And ADT's alarm went off after 15 seconds or 20 seconds. It probably scared them away fairly quickly. But I went and asked my fellow. I says, well, and you got cameras? He says, the camera system went down yesterday about 1 o'clock. So all my new technology and crime prevention have not been very successful. I had the same thing happen at my cabin. So that's another story. Yeah?
I can see why you put this particular topic on the list, because that is a really amusing story. Sorry that you came out the wrong end of the technology thing, but I gotta say that no matter how smart we think we are at keeping people out of our things in our places, it doesn't work very well. Because for us, we have security doors that you have to have badges to get in and out. Except during the day, there are a number of doors that are left open. And apparently at one point, the cargo loading door was left open. And the problem is that the cargo storage area has a security lock for people going into the security bay from inside the building. But if you're in the cargo bay, you don't need a badge to get out of the bay into the building. So somebody walked in through the open cargo bay door and proceeded to get into the building. And once you're inside the building, there are a number of doors that are still locked, but where the cargo bay is, there's no security door at the top of the stairs. So they essentially managed to get into areas of the building and wandered off with 3 laptops that had not been locked down. And the good thing about this was that the laptops they walked off with were encrypted, so if you couldn't get in to the laptops, you couldn't get anything on the hard drives. The bad news was that one of them wasn't. The good news was that they caught the guy on camera going into the security loading dock. The bad news was that he was wearing a hoodie and a hat, and they couldn't identify him. So for all the security system that we had, somebody found a way through. And this is not the first time that someone's gotten through, but every time they get through, they try to put in new measures. Like, okay, now we have glass break detector things. And finally, the end result was, we're just going to hire a security guy to drive around the building randomly, walk through the building randomly, and generally keep an eye out on things. With the idea that no matter how good your tech is, sometimes just having a good old security night watchman is enough. I don't know. And we haven't heard anything about people breaking in lately. It's been a good year or so. But essentially, if you have stuff and it's expensive and you leave it lying out somewhere and it's visible through windows, it's going to tempt somebody to come in and try to take it. The moral of the story is that if it's really important to you and it's electronic, back it up. If it's something that can be replaced and it's really, really valuable, insure it so at least you hopefully get your money back. And worst case scenario, recognize that everything in life is transient and whatever you lose is better than losing your life. Because at the end of it all, it's just stuff and you can't take it with you. Roland.
I agree. So in fact, you stole my line. That was my last half minute. I mean, you just snuck away with them. You know, I'm at jams, you know, music jams, and they only have, because everyone can only play pretty much the same group of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have everyone sing, so they have this limited, and everyone, the ones that when they get up in order, someone will always steal someone else's favorite song. Well, you're stealing favorite lines.
I am a big fan of song covers sometimes, or people who do mashups of two different songs, where two songs that were never meant to be played together are woven or mixed together, and sometimes it sounds really, really good. And I remember, and this is getting off topic, I apologize, that one of the first things that I enjoyed as a musical piece was a medley someone had done to the Beatles at a spring festival. And it was all the Beatles, but it was just kind of transition through various songs and kind of get us back on track. No matter how valuable anything is, no one can ever take your memories away from you because they're stuck in your head and they haven't figured out a way to steal your brain yet, at least not in such a way you get anything out of it.
You know how you have on a computer, you got cut and paste and you got copy?
Uh-huh.
They can do copies, but
they haven't
figured out how to do cuts yet and paste. You know how you cut it and it disappears and it goes somewhere else?
Yeah.
I'd be worried about that. What?
I would be worried about that.
I would be a little nervous about that, too, if they could cut and paste.
Well, kind of speaking of which, what really worries me about the whole surveillance cameras as evidence kind of thing is that they're getting really, really good at falsifying video footage of things. And it's like when you start getting into the whole, you can insert somebody into old camera footage and make it look like it's really real, you start getting into murky territory because unless you have someone who's an expert on identifying fake stuff, you can present a video camera record of somebody breaking into something, even though they were never there, and just fix it so it looks like the average jury person that it's them doing it. So I don't know how good that's going to be until someone actually is, quote, proven guilty in court, and then it turns out that it was a fake because they just keep getting better and better with it.
I absolutely agree with you. But the hard one would be if it was like a camera from a bank. Someone was able to get the footage and change it. So you have an authoritative video that someone was able to doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That would be scary.
I would think it would be easier to doctor something from a bank because it's such poor quality.
No, but I'm saying getting a hold of it and doctoring it. You know,
yeah.
It's like most, if someone turns in a video and the source isn't a secured source, they could edit it and do something, but people would be aware it might be. Oh, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Versus something you're getting where the source looks like it's impeccable.
Right.
You know, and if the quality is fair, you know, fairly good, and but it's doctored. You know, it's like, oh, that would be terrifying. However, that happens with all the stuff now where people are ripping off other people's money. They go in and they doctor up all the documents and pictures and everything else and IDs and go down and get credit and steal people's shirt. It was some people in Apache Junction, and they had because if the husband was sick, they had to sell their property, and they had to, and they went down to do cashing at the bank, and some thieves had put in a strip that picked up the strip, you know, that picked up the reading from the strip when they put their card in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a spotter that spotted the number they put in.
Oh, yeah.
And then they stole this. They stole $8,000 out of the thing, $500 at a time. And these people were really in bad shape because he was sick and he was on his deathbed, and they stole his money. It was really a tragic tale. And they eventually cleaned it up, but not before they had to sell their home.
Yikes.
It was a terrible incident, and the bank did not take any responsibility until law enforcement proved that they were wrong, because they were, you know, there was a whole group that it happened to. And what I'm surprised at and absolutely thrilled with is they did find out what was wrong and did. I don't know if they caught the guy or not, but they at least caught the situation. And that, you know, every time there's a way or a new thing that comes out in technology, someone feels a way to rob it. I mean, it just, I don't know, just they're terrible. And I Carrie thinks thieves are some of the worst people there. She puts them right up violent thieves, or they're thieves that are, you know, that steal anything of value. She puts them right up with killers, because they can destroy people. So having the surveillance stuff and that, if you know, a lot of times you get two and three and four sources, and it's easy. And if you can use those things to identify someone and get them off the streets, it's awesome.
A long answer to the longer question that I asked earlier. So we are pretty much right up on our break here, and we'll watch out for more of you in a few minutes. World Bend Stories. See you in a bit.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started in San Francisco 35 years ago, we welcome you to Omen Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.com. www.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Men's Stories, our episode on stopping crime. Now, I guess one of the best, worst innovations that we've had about crime stopping in this generation is the fact that even though we don't have business official city surveillance CCTVs, everybody and their brother has a cell phone. And no matter what goes on, odds on half the time, or good to the fourth night, somebody is shooting you on their cell phone doing something outlandish because it ends up on YouTube. And we've had a lot of crimes out here in the Bay Area that have been sensationalized both and also kind of that would have gone by the boards except for the fact that somebody recorded or shot something with their cell phone and it became evidence in the case. So we've become a society that pretty much can video anything, everything, at any time, and you never know what it is. But it's certainly a lot less expensive than installing cameras everywhere, but it's also the quality of whatever you can record in your cell phone. Anyway, Roland, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. I don't have a cell phone that can record things yet, but maybe someday. But Master Storyteller Laura Davis does. And we haven't stopped any crimes yet. But
no?
Not yet. How about you? Do you have a cell phone that shoots things?
Yes, I do. I take a lot of pictures, and Terry takes a lot of pictures with our cell phone. That's our main camera now. And I got my video cameras, but they take a while to get out. But you just take, and I got, you know, we take good quality pictures with the cameras, too. And it's good enough so that you don't take pictures the wrong way. Now they have cameras going both ways, you know, towards you and away from you.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So if you want to get on and do a talk where you sit and look at each other, you can do that. But the cameras are good enough so that you don't accidentally take a picture yourself when you're trying to take a picture of a crime.
I still remember taking pictures of my thumb in the picture half the time.
That's true, yeah. You get your fingers in the front, yep. Then
all right.
You get right over the lens, yep. But that happens.
So let's talk about today's guest speaker.
My guest speaker is sort of by... How would you call it? He was one that would talk to me. You know, I was in West Texas, and they are staunch cowboys. And I got Mike Davis, and that's Mike is old sheriff and an old policeman, and he's retired. And I said, Mike, get up and fire me a story. And I was all excited. He goes, tell me. He says, and then I went, well, I'm so excited. Blah, blah, blah. He goes, no, that's what you call a West Texas answer.
Nope.
So that evening I sat and I was talking to Terry's Aunt Jane, who's only 3 years older than her, and Ed Davis, her husband. And Ed is about 10 years older than Jane. She's, you know, he's in his late 80s. So I said, tomorrow, Ed, you and I are going to have a story together. Well, he's never been on, so I had to prime the pump a little, but you'll hear it in the story. Take it away, Sharon.
Roland Willits, Old Men Stories. I'm here with Ed Davis. Ed's my uncle. And we told Terry to be quiet. And she said, oh, yes. She said she did the zip-up thing, and she was mad. She made it about 3 seconds. And then she just blurted out. So she just went. She just couldn't keep from talking, could she? She's a talker. She's sort of like your wife, Jane. That's why we're quiet, aren't we? Because they just take it away. You just start the conversation. You say about two words, and they take it from there, don't they?
Yeah, that's not right.
Well, we're talking about improved crime prevention, and over the years, now you have to think about this. Now, I was born in 1941, and Ed was born 10 years before we were born. Before I was born. And so when I was born, they already had the Colt 40, they had the 45, right? And they already had the revolvers. What does your son have right now? He has a revolver, right? And he has pistols, right?
Yes.
He's got both, right?
Oh, yeah. He has automatic rifles, too. He has I know he had more. Many of them had more than one.
He's got a whole bunch of new type toys, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
You've had a lot of protection over the years, haven't you? Crime prevention, new crime prevention has been because your sons have improved their accuracy, Ray, over the years. They were both in, what were they in? Jeff was, what was he in?
They were both in the city police department, San Angelo Police Department.
Oh, okay. What'd they do?
They just patrolling. They were just patrolling on the street all the time.
That's a tough job.
One of them, Mike, rode a motorcycle, and Jeff was in a car. And then also Jeff was in, he was in the department that had something to do with drug, you know, the drug problem in town. Also, he worked trying to keep that down.
Okay, so he was sort of a detective?
Yeah, I guess you'd say so.
So he was, and they did it for a long time, didn't they?
Well, see, one of them, Mike was in 27 years, and Jeff, I think, 22 or 23 years before they retired.
Gotta get this. We're old. We're old men telling this story because our kids are retired.
Yeah.
And their kids are getting into that area, aren't they? Are they any of their kids getting into law enforcement?
No.
Oh, okay. So it was like it skipped a generation anyway because it says, I don't want my kids doing what I did. Now, I know Mike. What does he always have? He always carries what?
He always carries a pistol on his. I don't know where he keeps it exactly, but anyway, he has one with him.
Always, does he? Yeah. And I was just there visiting him, and you know what he said to me when I asked him for an interview?
Yeah, he didn't want to do that.
Here's to you, Mike. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's the way he is.
He is. I really like him. I like both your kids. They're just Texas cowboys. They were raised and they're out on the range all the time.
Yeah, they ride horses. Jeff rides horses. You know, always roping. He's in this roping set all the time.
Yeah, Jeff is. Yeah, still. Yeah, and that's doing the calves right and tying them off, or is it the cattle and pulling them down?
Yeah, I think they have. I don't know. I've never even watched him when he's gone, when he's roping. But usually they rope them, you know, rope them in time, you know.
Right,
you
know, yeah.
And they do that all the time.
Wow.
Or Jeff does now. Mike doesn't. He rides, of course, he rides horses, and he has horses, and stuff like that. But he doesn't. He doesn't go out and get in these groups that have a regular roping, you know.
Right, they don't go to rodeos, you know. Okay.
No, he doesn't. But they don't do that in rodeos.
They don't do that in rodeos anymore?
Well, they do, but I don't think Jeff did.
Oh, okay.
Enter didn't do it. No.
Oh, he just does it as sort of a group of guys that do it.
Yeah.
Sort of a roping club.
Yeah.
You gotta get these are different clubs than we have.
Yeah.
They got bikers clubs here though, don't they?
Oh yeah.
And they got bikers clubs. Yes. So they got bikers clubs everywhere. And like I say, the our major thing in crime prevention is they shot more accurately every year, didn't they?
Yeah, I guess that was.
I guess that's one of the good crime prevention, yeah.
You have to go out and take all these tests, you know, when I was shooting, you know, and see how accurate they are.
Yep.
And then do that on a yearly basis.
Yeah, I was looking at talking to Mike or Jeff, and they would have the, you know, those tasers, you know, the things that give people shocks.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if they had any of that. You know, we're in San Angelo, Texas, by the way. Yeah, it isn't behind, it isn't backward, because they got Walmart.
Yeah, they got Walmart.
Walmart, they got two universities here, and right in the center of, the heart of the new oil explosion here in Texas, aren't we?
Yes.
So there's probably going to be a lot more crime going on, because when you get that, you get all the questionables coming in because they see a quick dollar.
Yeah, there have been more crimes, I think, to some degree, since this started. Well, there's more that goes on than it did. And there's more wrecks on the highway, because of all those trucks, big trucks, traveling all the time.
They want to go fast, too.
People get killed, yeah.
Yeah. They got a speed limit here. They slowed it down a little from the freeways. They got, what was it, 75? 80 on the freeways, 75 on the roads. So they really move it. I only do about 65, and they, I was just a slowpoke.
Yeah. Well, actually, the long run, you get there about the same time they do, because, they slow down a little bit, and then they speed up. And so you really get to where you're going about the same as they do.
Sure do. Yeah. And, I guess that's my crime prevention. I slow down, and with my big rig, I got about 60 feet of slowing down.
Yeah.
And they got to slow down for a little while before they pass me. So, let's see. Other crime prevention stuff. Did you get one of those ADP security systems? You know, or don't you need it around here? You know, where they have surveillance?
No, we don't have one.
You don't really need one around here that much, do you, yet?
We don't feel like we do yet.
Well, someone messes around, Mike's around. They don't know they're not going to mess around much anymore. And even with Jeff, too. They're both hardy lads. I got to look up at them. What are they, six something? How tall are they?
Yeah, Mike. I don't know, Jeff, a little over 6 feet, about 6'1" or 2", I think. And Mike's probably 5'5" or something.
He's right up there. He's pushing 6, if not 6. Yeah. So they're people. They're men you look up to. Honorable. Mike still comes, sees you, takes you to dinner with you on Sunday, and picks you up when you need a ride someplace, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They're just good boys.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, Mike's wife's a shooter too, isn't she?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's taught her to where she can shoot pretty well. She kills deer and different things when I go out hunting. And he's pretty accurate.
Cool. So your basic crime prevention around here is being prepared, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can do that. You can do that in West Texas, can't you?
Yes.
Can't do that a lot of times you get in cities, because they take all everything you can away from you that you need to help yourself. But you don't mess with Texas, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. That's right. Protection enforced by Smith & Wesson.
Yeah. They go for these guns around here, and every other one, has guns, and more and more guns, guns at their home or whatever. Yeah,
you had yours, didn't you?
Yeah, I have three or four of them.
You just you just dust them off once in a while now, don't you?
Yeah.
I haven't taken mine out and shot it in a while either. I'll shoot this summer again at the gun club, trap shooting.
Yeah, I haven't done it. It's been several years now since I actually went out and did really any, shooting, you see. Just see how accurate I can get and all that. I don't do it very often anymore. Yeah, we like to keep our guns around, We maybe never need to use them, but it's always nice to have one in case, that you really do need it.
Yep. You get some wild character that goes crazy, and if you don't have anything to defend yourself, they have the upper hand. So, crime prevention in Texas, West Texas, is everyone has a means of helping themselves.
Yeah.
Now that is endorsed by the whole Texas.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Some of the big cities get a little pussy, but anyone outside the metropolitans.
Yeah, I think just about everyone would have one or more guns described that you'd ever talk to.
Hear that? That's how you You have the latest crime prevention, an extra gun. Thank you all. Roland Woods, All Men Stories. And you say Ed Davis, All Men Stories. Loud.
Ed Davis.
All Men Stories.
I'm returning.
Yeah!
Thanks, Ed, for sharing that with us. And that is actually a good way to segue into the next thought. Crime stopping in terms of non-lethal ways to disable somebody or render them harmless. And you talked about pepper spray in the opening and how I remember when I was younger, pepper spray was illegal to carry in New York. So that you had to find someone who was willing to somehow get you some. I can't remember if he had to go like to New Jersey or something, but it was better than no protection at all. And I remember someone who should remain nameless showing me that their mom had pepper spray in her purse because she had been accosted at one point and that she was willing to do something illegal to be safer in the future. And I have this thought about the whole idea of tasers and the fact that we've had a number of occasions where the transit police have tasers that they're carrying along with a pistol. And I think that the difference between a pistol and a taser is that there's this notion that tasers are non-lethal and relatively harmless, but it's essentially you're shocking somebody with a very large electrical charge from a prod. And whereas somebody would say, okay, if I draw a gun and I shoot at you, I have a chance of killing you because it's a gun, versus I have this thing that's supposedly harmless, I'm definitely going to shoot you with it because I know it's going to take you down. So on the one hand, yes, on paper, it's non-lethal. Yes, it will disable most criminals in their tracks if you hit with it. But most of them tend to have like one shot versus someone who draws a gun on someone who doesn't have a gun. That's a pretty much a balance of power shift for the person who has the gun that says, hey, I have a gun, I know how to use it, and if you do something wrong, I will shoot you and probably hurt you really badly. So we have to have people to protect us because the police are there to be authorized to stop people who don't care for the law. But when it comes down to protecting yourself, should people be allowed to carry guns? And gun control is a issue around here because, well, if you carry a gun, somebody else comes back with a very illegal assault pistol or assault rifle or whatever. And then, well, if you get outgunned but equipped with an assault rifle, why can't you have one too? In the end, it's all about awareness, I think, and not doing something stupid by deciding because I have a gun or I have a taser, I'm going to go charge in or I'm going to resist somebody who is basically trying to do something to me because I think I can outshoot them. And then you get into problems where some kid finds the gun that you have tucked away in a shoebox in your closet and shoots their younger brother. And this has happened so often in the news for years and years. It's just a matter of you pick your poison. You pick whether you want to feel safer or be safer, if you will. I'll grant that. By having a gun on you. And there are lots of states that have concealed carry laws that says it's legal to carry a gun. As long as you know everyone has guns, then it's supposedly equal. But it's, again, judgment. Can you be trusted to use that gun in the right situations and not in the wrong situations? Anyway, there's my soapbox. Roland.
Well, I hear it. And the other side of the coin, if everyone can kill everyone else just with a touch of a finger, it would be much safer because everyone would be aware of that, and it would be a training process where kids would instantly be trained to not touch people with their finger that way. Okay? it would be mandatory that they learn not to do that. I look at it sort of a minor version of nuclear weapons. Okay? Everyone, they have all these controls so we don't kill ourselves.
Yeah.
That's because we can destroy the human race right now. It's a total doable. But we have set up major systems to prevent that. To me, that's very appropriate. So I don't know. I mean, I also see my problem is I have a tendency to go toward your side also. So I'm not, you know, it's like I'm not solid in my position, and I don't have an answer. But I do know that every time you've taken away things that people can protect themselves with, there's been more violence than without. Okay? Although there are accidents, so. And they do have a tendency on these accidents to make sure the whole world knows about the accidents. You won't hear about the instances where it protected people, but you will hear about the accident. So it seems to me it's more of people reporting and giving a accurate report on what your statistics are and evidence on the whole thing. And you will never get it. It'll never be accurate because there's too many political agendas.
True. Last thing from me, one of the best things to look at is a website called www.crimereports.com. It shows you where the bad points in the neighborhood are. They have reports from there. So be safe. Know where to go and where not to go. Thanks for listening, folks, from Old Man Stories. See you next week.
When night calls and bad people come calling, and bravery and locks are not enough, will the police come to save the day? Has our ability to stop crime improved enough to keep us safe? Or are we better off protecting ourselves? What's your opinion? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Ben Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.